He went to camp each year with me as a ball boy.
He began wearing the red and gold as a ball boy at Candlestick.
Candlestick Park in San Francisco, and the sun has been out all day.
Now he's the brightest young mind in the NFL.
It's top secret information. All right, we can go Y short to strong right clamp ace, H2 Y bingo X comeback, cannon with roll right Z shallow onto. Got it?
Hey, Murph and Mac, turn up the wheezy and open your playbooks. Here's the head coach of your 49ers, Kyle Shanahan.
Sponsored by Zenni, the official eyewear of the 49ers. Find your prescription glasses at game-changing prices at Zenni.com. And by UCSF Health, redefining possible.
On KNBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
All right, this is a good one. We got the head coach on the UMA guest line. After I tell you, you're listening to KNBR and KNBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader, a Cumulus Media station. So first of all, good morning, Kyle. Welcome back to the Murph and Mac Show. Brian Murphy, Paul McCaffrey. How you doing this morning, Kyle?
Hey, coach. Good morning.
Good morning, guys. Doing good. How you guys doing?
Good. We're doing good, man. We're excited. You know, I was just saying to Paulie right before we came on, I said, how long has it been since we had Kyle on? Because of the holiday and some scheduling, I think it's been about 3 weeks or something like that, which made me think, last time we talked to you, you guys were not in the situation you're in now. You're on a roll now, Kyle. I wanted to get a, like, open it up by telling me, how different does the building feel now than it did a month ago?
Definitely feels better. That's for everything feels better, to tell you the truth. And that's what you get used to in the league, though. I mean, things can change fast. And, you know, that's why you sit here and, you know, things are a lot better winning these three games in a row. But I also know how quick that can change. So that's how the season is. Once you start there in August and you go hopefully till February, you never really relax. And that's why you just commit those months. And when it's all said and done, you hope you're the last team standing, because usually there's only one team that's happy at the end of the year.
So what changed? Why is it better a month now than it was a month ago?
Well, it's better because we're winning, but why are we winning?
Yeah, why?
Because we're playing better. And so I know that's very simple way to say it, but that's how football works. I mean, this game, I mean, the league, there's not much that separates the top from the bottom. And it's a few plays here and there, and all these games are pretty close. I mean, rarely do you just get blown out on both sides, and it's tough. And so you got to convert third downs. You got to stay on the field. You got to not turn the ball over. You have to get turnovers to win. And those are the things that I think have changed. You know, I think, you know, we've been pretty good at the red zone all year. But, you know, when we were losing, we were struggling with turnovers. We weren't getting many on defense, and we were struggling to stay on the field because we couldn't convert on third down very well. And all those things have improved in our winning streak, and we've continued to do well in the red zone. And you add those things together, and it makes you a lot tougher to beat.
I think what the popular view from outside the building is that you've had your three best rushing weeks in the last 3 weeks, and that's why you're winning. Is that an accurate assessment?
Yes, but why are we having our best rushing weeks?
Yeah, you tell us.
Yeah, tell us.
I just did. you convert third downs, you stay on the field. You know, you look at the Rams game, and yeah, we ran the ball 40-something times, but it was barely, I think, for 4 yards a carry. You know, so how do you do that? Well, you have your best third down week of the year. And then it allows you to call some more plays. It allows you to stay on the field. Your defense gets some turnovers, so you get the ball back. It allows you to keep that going. It's not just, hey, we decided to run the ball well this week. It's a combination of all that stuff that allows you to do that. Usually when teams run the ball well, they usually do win. So it's not – that's why everyone asks, well, why don't you just run the ball more? It's kind of the goal every week. And so usually it works, but not always.
It's the phrase Dante Whitner says every week on his Comcast hit, complimentary football. Right? That's the phrase,
exactly.
Right? That's the one. And it's true. I mean, if you look at you guys' season on a big picture, there was a lot of turnovers early in the season. And it's funny, you just I don't know, and this is age old. We've been covering football forever, and you ask them, why are you guys turning the ball over? How can you get the ball? I mean, do you, after all your years in the league, is it a matter of luck, or is it a matter of focus and concentration? I mean, it was a bad thing early, and now it's going your way.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more focus and concentration. I mean, yeah, there's always some luck, and, you know, you get the ball on the ground a lot, and there's some years where the, you know, when you strip guys and stuff, the ball just bounces the wrong way. I think that can have a little to do with luck, a very little. But because we always say good things happen to those who run. And if you're running all the time and if you're never hesitating, you're doing things, you tend to be a little bit more lucky because you're around the ball. You're reacting faster. And those are the things that you try to sharpen up throughout off season. You sharpen up in training camp. And the key is to getting better as the year goes and not getting worse. And it's a long season. So that's what everyone's trying to battle each week. And that's what I was proud of our team a lot, because when you do face adversity like you do, like we did, and when you lose four in a row, I mean, in the NFL, you lose two in a row, and it's almost Armageddon. And so a lot of people get down, and it's hard to get out of that funk. And I've just been impressed, or not impressed, but proud of the character in here with the players and stuff. And, you know, when their backs have been against the wall, they just keep grinding, keep working, because, you know, you can't sit there and feel sorry for yourself. All you can do is try to figure out how to do it better and to work and practice, and hopefully the results show on Sundays.
Yeah, something happened that tested your character between the Cardinals game and the Rams game. That was the week where it appears these guys decided that they were not going to be...
Enough's enough.
Yeah, they're not putting up with it, and that speaks to what you were just talking about with the character and the perseverance. So that brings us to Sunday up in Seattle, and you do not have Deebo Samuel. We were joking, saying if you don't have Deebo, does the game even count? I mean, he is your first, your last, your everything. He's been such a huge part of this team, making such huge plays. This is one of these unquantifiable questions, but is it a crisis that you don't have Deebo Samuel on Sunday?
No, I mean, Deebo's an important player, and everything you're saying is accurate, but I mean, anytime you're missing a great player, it can't be a crisis. I mean, this is football. You know, there's a lot of people out there, and it's all tied together. And it's even when Deebo's going, which he's been unbelievable, but you better make sure you're blocking well for him and giving him some of those looks. And then you got a guy like Deebo who can turn a very well play that would be explosive for a lot of guys, but he can turn it into a touchdown, which that's the key, is getting points. So we got to have other guys step it up and still make some plays, but we got to make sure that we're playing as a team and feeding off each other like we have been doing.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Shanahan's our guest on the UMA guest line. Your tight end yesterday, Kyle, had a great phrase he invented. He was talking about going up to Seattle and playing up there, saying he enjoys it up there. And he says one of the reasons he likes it is because, quote, you can feel the passion of hatred from their fans. I like that, the passion of hatred. Cool phrase. But, you know, I'm just wondering, look, Seattle's down this year. I know you're not taking them lightly in any respect, but at the same time, this is not quite the same Seattle team we've seen in the past. And, you know, extra preparations, we've talked about that in the past, just to how to contend with the noise up there and everything like that. Is it any less daunting now that you've gone up there? You have gotten that huge win back in 2019. Or is it still something, you know, the noise, the elements, the fans up there, do you still take that as seriously as you would if they were 8-3?
Oh, you take it the same way. I mean, I don't think I've ever played Seattle. I can't remember playing Seattle when they've had a losing record. So that just shows how good they've been over this last decade. It doesn't matter with Seattle. Like, even watch their games this year. It's coming down to the end. You know, they had a rough game on Monday night, you know, offensively. But they still had every opportunity to win that at the end. You know, they missed a two-point conversion. They got an onside kick with an illegal formation. I mean, that definitely should have gone to overtime. And they didn't play their best ball. And you know Russell's going to play a lot better. You know the competitor he is. You know all the great things he's done. And people, you know, they have the 32nd ranked defense in yards. So people talk about their defense being bad. They have a top 10 defense, in my opinion. You look at them, what they've, you know, they're ranked 7th in points. They're ranked 2nd in giving up explosives. They're ranked 7th in third down. I think they're 6th in red zone. All the things that really matter, they're in the top 8 at. And where they've been unfortunate is their defense has been on the field too much. And, you know, they have 150 more plays on defense than our guys do, which means they've played 2 more games defensively. Yet they only give up 5 yards of play. And that's, look at their offense. Their offense has been historically bad on third down. And that's why they're just struggling with that. But that's not going to last forever. Eventually, you know, they missed Russell for a number of games where they struggled. And they haven't been great since he's come back. But I know he's going to get that rhythm. He's too good of a player not to. And that's why I expect this game, no matter what happens, I bet you it comes down to the last series.
Wow. Okay. Well, obviously, Seattle, full max respect going into Seattle, I know. But we'll see how it plays out on Sunday. Got a couple questions on personnel, guys. Elijah Mitchell has been banged up with ribs and shoulders and fingers, but he's been playing great. I know you rested him on Wednesday. Could you just kind of catch us up on a young kid's body?
Oh, man, what a workhorse.
But touching it a lot. I mean, are you guys as a coaching staff sort of going into December and hopefully a long run into January, how concerned are you about his, you know, durability?
I mean, I think he's the healthiest right now that he's been in a number of weeks. You know, he went into that game, you know, the game before, missing with his finger and things like that and struggling with that. Or not missing it, but not sure if he was going to be able to go. And he was able to get through that game healthy. You know, everyone's, you know, when you get that many carries and stuff, you're going to be sore. So we were resting him for that reason and stuff. But the injuries he's had throughout the year, I think, are doing the best that they have been.
Okay, well, that's good for him because he's obviously been an incredible talent. Is there a way you can describe to us how his talent has sort of shown itself? Because, I mean, there's a lot going on about how Trey Sermon was drafted ahead of him, but he's the guy. What has he – how did he blow you guys away, and how does he continue to impress you guys with what he does in your offense?
I mean, he was very similar in college, and you always got to see it at a different level. But even in practice, whether we have pads on or not, he hits the right hole every time. He's got a very natural running ability where, you know, some guys, it's hard for backs to always hit the right hole. Sometimes they're too out of control and going too fast and they miss something. And then sometimes they go too slow to try to look for the right hole and they miss the bounce outside the numbers. And that stuff is very hard to coach. That's the most natural part about being a running back. If you can just naturally hit the right hole, it's something Debo does very well. It's not like anyone's coaching Debo on how to run. You know, you try to give him good plays and you try to set his track the right way, but there's a very natural ability to hitting holes and stuff, and Elijah has that. And then when he's gotten into these games, you just see his toughness. You see he's got the talent, but he's also got the mindset. You know, he gets stronger to me as the game goes. He lowers his head whenever that hole is only open for about 2 yards. Somehow he gets 4.5 to 5 yards, and that allows you to get more calls. That allows you to get more carries and things like that, and it's really made him come off, like you guys are saying, as a workhorse.
Yeah.
Well, the other guy who's a young guy who's emerging real late is Juwan Jennings. And he's a guy who, I mean, to my mind, it was doubtful if he would make the team. He's always been sort of on the bubble. And all of a sudden now, he's out there making huge plays. And
he's
I would imagine with Debo's absence, he becomes much more of a factor. Can you give us the Kyle Shanahan view of Juwan Jennings since he got to the building on draft day as a seventh rounder to now? I mean, he's got quite a personality to him. But he never really assumed that spot in the depth chart. He was always kind of fighting uphill, wasn't he? And what has he done to get where he's gotten to now?
Yeah, it takes time for these guys. We don't have really a minor league. So it's always tough to get you got to do it in training camp. That's where you got to make the team, and that's where you got to earn those spots, because there's not many times on a Wednesday practice, a Thursday practice, a Friday walkthrough where you're really competing during the season, showing guys what you can do, because you're trying to run the game plan, you're trying to prepare for the Seattle looks. It's a little different. And you look at Juwan's rookie year, you know, he wasn't ready. You know, he just wasn't as developed enough to make it right away in that first training camp, especially not having OTAs and especially it not being a real training camp with COVID. So we put him on practice squad and he was coming on big time to where we were. I think he would have, especially the injuries we had at receiver last year, if he would have stayed healthy, I think by week 10, he would have been out there. And especially because with Ayuk and Debo getting hurt, and he would have started some games, but he ended up ripping his hamstring in practice, you know, I want to say in like week 7. So he was gone for the whole year after that. And then he came to training camp, and, you know, I went into training camp thinking he had the best chance to be our third receiver. He missed the first 10 days because of COVID. And then when he came back, he was a little behind everybody else. Sanu and stuff was playing at a much higher level than him. And then he started to make a push. It was around the Chargers week down there that he was making a push on some of the other receivers. And then he got hurt, and he had a setback and missed about 2 weeks in training camp. And in those 2 weeks, the other guys gained a lot of ground on him, and it took him a while to come back and play at that level again. And by the time he was doing all right, Mo had already owned that spot, and Sanu was playing very well. I mean, I thought Sanu was one of our most reliable and consistent receivers that we had during that span at the beginning of the year when our team wasn't playing that well. And then he got the opportunity when Mo went down, and he's taken advantage of it, and he's getting better each week, and hopefully that'll continue.
Well, he's really, really impressive, and I would imagine big role for him on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, all our guys. You never know how it's going to play out. You know, but he's, you know, he's been the third receiver. We've got to shuffle guys around, not having Debo out there. But all those guys got a good shot to have a good game.
All right. Hey, Kyle, just a couple injury questions. Jermichael Hasty, is he a good chance to play Sunday?
Yeah, I believe it'll work out. He looked good yesterday. We'll see how it goes today, but, you know, I expect to have him up.
Marcel Harris with this concussion, it's a tough deal. I know the linebacker situation is really tough, so what are we looking at here?
Yeah, not sure yet. You know, that's the whole protocol thing. So he's got to come in and pass some tests. They take him through a bunch of stuff that you just wait to get the thumbs up on it. So that's up to the doctors and all the tests he's got to pass. And I know it's gotten better each day, but that'll be a big test for him today and tomorrow.
And D lineman Maurice Hurst, is he ready to come back?
I think so. He's had a good week so far. We're going to decide how the whole roster shapes up with who we're going to dress, but he's definitely got a chance to.
And then Trey Sermon's probably unlikely, huh?
Yeah, Trey's going to be out for a little bit. Okay. He got his ankle pretty bad. So.
That's right. You said that, too. Yeah. And then just we never even asked you about the fear of no Fred Warner. I mean, we had Azeez Al-Shaair on this week, and he becomes the guy, right? And again, it's sort of the same question I asked you about Debo, but crisis mode without Fred Warner, mark.
I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, losing Debo is just like losing Fred. So, I mean, they both go hand in hand. You know, Fred's the quarterback of our defense. Everything runs through him. So, Azeez got to step up that role. I think Azeez is more of a natural mic anyway, so I think he's ready for it.
Nice.
You're always going to miss 54 out there, but Azeez has had a good week of practice. He'll lead those guys well, and hopefully Marcel will be able to pass this and get out there. But if not, we got Flanagan. We got some guys that got to step it up.
Well, all right. It's going to be really interesting. You know, one thing it's sort of a big one to leave till the end, but I just want to give you a chance to hit. We've heard so much about you and Brandon Ayuk having like a come to Jesus face to face.
Yeah, look at him now, though.
Yeah.
Playing good ball, man.
I never got your version of it. Did you guys throw down at each other?
No.
Verbally, yeah. I mean, yes, of course.
Brandon's got a funny way of communicating, and I understand it very well. I think a lot of people have asked me that because he said we had words.
Yeah, right.
When you say we had words, it comes off as exactly what you guys are saying, but it wasn't like that at all.
Okay,
we had good words, a good dialogue, a good discussion, and not just one, probably about 100 of them.
Wow.
Something that we got a good relationship. He knows I push him hard.
Yeah.
But I think he knows what my intent is. My intent is to get him to be the best receiver he can be so he can help the Niners. And his goal is to be the best receiver he can be, one, so he can help the Niners, but so he can support his family and have a hell of a career. And so we both have the same goal, and we both need each other to reach those goals.
All right, man. Well, up to Seattle. There's a lot going on. Like you said, you're in full body armor, ready for – you said final possession. Is that what you said, you think?
That's what always happens versus Seattle. So I hope it's not.
Yeah,
you
right.
want to make it easier. Yeah. I'd like a relaxing game, but I really am not counting on that. I'm
all
expecting
right.
it to come down to the wire, and I know that their team will be ready, and I know our team will be ready also. It's going to be a battle.
We can't wait. And you guys, congrats on the win streak. Thanks for the time and the fun conversation.
Always, Coach.
And
thank
enjoy
you.
Yourself on Sunday. Thanks, Kyle.
All right, thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
There he is, Kyle Shanahan, head coach. He's in full battle mode.
He's in full
there.
Kyle. Well, the passion of hatred that Kittle talked about, the passion of hatred.
Did he just say to take Seattle and three? Is that what he said?
I didn't hear him say that exactly.
I'm kidding.
I like what he said about Ayuk, though. And that's, there's one of those situations where it could have gone either way. Like, because he was barely getting on the field, man, at the beginning of the year. And now you see the results. So whatever those words were those guys had with each other, produce some damn good results. And without Debo, I would think we're going to get a pretty healthy dose of Ayuk.
You ready for the Juwan Jennings era?
Bring it on, man.
All right,
bring
here
it.
We go. All right, good stuff. Off to a good Friday start. Greg Papa.
Yeah.
Top six, cooler content, daily dose. Jen Mueller from Seattle. All happening. Forecast in the books, by the way. People still talking about the forecast.
What are they saying? I hope they're feeling good about it.
It's just a buzz, Paulie. There's
buzz
in the air.
Always is.
On KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.
You met Lala Kent on Vanderpump Rules. Now Lala and her friends share everything on Give Them Lala.
I'm expecting my second child. Which is very, very amazing to say.
Congratulations.
Feels
that
way.
We're all with child.
You can say she's pregnant, she's knocked up, anything except with child.
Oh, I love with child. I'm going to be saying it all the time. Yep. Excuse me.
Yes, yes.
6 feet, I'm with child.
Watch what Lala is talking about on YouTube or search for Give Them Lala wherever you listen.